Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Afterlife Voicemail System. If you're trying to reach heaven, please press 1. For Yahweh, press 2. For Muhammad, press 3. If you're trying to reach Nirvana, you're going about it all wrong, so we certainly can't help you. If you'd just like to leave a message, wait for the beep.
Good evening, Collective. Welcome. Thank you for listening. It's host Magenta Ash alongside Joey. Say hello, Joey.
Hello.
I am currently way under the weather tonight, so I do apologize to everybody if I cough or hack or sneeze or just die on the air. I apologize. Yes, or squeal. Tonight's episode is going to be awesome. It's called Fang Deep Revelation. We are going to have guest Darker Realms. That's his name. He's going to be on the show today, talking about the origin of real vampires. So I'm excited. How excited are you, Joey?
I'm going to be excited if there's like a real origin story like Batman. Like, it's got to be awesome.
I don't know. It sounds pretty awesome. It's the same guy who called in last show. We thought we'd give him a little bit more time to everything that he was talking about. I know we had a really good positive feedback from the people that were listening in. So we definitely want to explore this guy's information about real vampires. And I feel like crap.
This is why you should let me become a vampire and turn you. You'd never get the sniffles. But if you did, you would be like have blood running out of your nose. So that would suck. You'd have like any kind of, you could have all the human sicknesses, but instead of like mucus, it's all blood. That would be terrible.
That would be horrible. First
you
of
would
all,
never
I don't
get
like
to wear your white shirts like all the frilly vampires in the movies.
I personally dislike blood. Not that I'm squeamish of it. I just, you know, drinking it, it's not going to work for me. I'm going to have to set that one out. So on that level, no, definitely not becoming a vampire anytime soon.
I've never tasted anyone else's blood, but I'm not opposed to that.
You have to be really, really safe. You know, like, taking random people's blood, you know, just don't be an idiot about it. That's all I got to say. Because I know some
I carry a box cutter at work, so I probably shouldn't just go around nicking people and licking my blade, right?
Yeah. You'd be slicing someone up in the back room.
Like, I don't want the blood, though. There's only a couple of people I would work with that I would want to drink their blood. The others, you know, is contaminated.
No.
But I hope they're not listening to this show tonight because those two probably know who I'm talking about.
They're going to give you weird looks next time you go into work, that's for sure.
Every time we're alone in the back room and I whip out my knife, they're going to go, oh, no. And I'm going to go, oh, yes.
See, you shouldn't make me laugh. It hurts my throat. And,
oh.
Yeah.
You need some whiskey and honey or whatever it is that makes a hot toddy.
Corey said he was going to make me one, so we'll see.
I've got some, like, big glass bottles of apple cider. I just need to find what kind of booze you put in it to make it hard.
Back in the day, in high school, my science teacher used to tell us how to make, you know, the shoddy fermented, apple cider. He's like, put it in your attic for 2 weeks in the summer, and it'll be alcohol. I'm like, thanks.
Oh, so if I just, like, get one of these bottles and leave it out in the sun during the summer, it'll turn into alcohol, or will I just, like, die?
possibly you might die, but there's a possibility it can ferment into some kind of sort of alcohol. So you should try it and let us know the result.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say there's a chance you could turn me into a vampire, and I was like, we need to make a book where that happens.
Yes, because apple cider makes somebody into vampires. Oh,
we only drink the juice of apples.
Yes. Here's Darker Realms. Joey, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
All right. How are you?
I'm feeling great tonight.
I'm sick, so I'm going to let Joey converse with you. I'm out of it, but I'm here, so hello.
Hello. So we talked about doing a Q&A, if that was something people were interested in.
I'm definitely down with that. I'm sure everyone has a lot of questions.
Okay, yeah, no. Any questions you were asked in the comments, or you personally, either of you want to ask, I can...
Go ahead, Ash.
Well, I'll first give out our guest call-in number, since I guess we will be taking some questions. Our guest call-in number is 516-387-1909. Call in with your phone or with Skype. In the meantime, I guess, I know you explained to us on a private conversation about the origins. Mm-hmm. Maybe you can kind of run through, I guess, start there. You know, what are the actual origins of what you consider real vampires?
Okay, now the actual origins. It really boils down to the same story. But when it comes to my version, and I use Lilith as a template, some people who are pro-Aceteian, now I consider pro-Aceteianism, Aceteianism being the belief of Moat and Isis as the mother or first real vampires or Aceteans that would eventually... made with humans, fixing just a long story. So do you want the full rundown, or do you just want a full story? Or
well, if you could give us, like, you know, some highlights, I suppose, of the story would be great, so we could call in.
Okay, so basically Vampire Sunday School.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah. That makes sense. Okay, so this is steeped somewhat in the Egyptian pantheon, and that is that since the Aceteans were in Egypt, they had to use the Egyptian pantheon to try to rise to power, try to convince people that they were right, that them being in control was the best thing for everyone. There is some evidence that those elongated skulls found in Egypt were non-human. They might be Aceteian skulls. We don't really know for sure. But essentially the idea of Aceteans is that they are the first half-demon, half-human hybrids. And that is the sense that they are the children of Lilith. They are the direct descendants of Lilith. Now, she is not in the Egyptian pantheon, very obviously, but the Egyptian pantheon will be used later to cover it up. Now, the rise to power is, as I've muttered, I guess, throughout this whole thing, and I do apologize for my mumbling, the rise to power of the Aceteans comes from the belief in the Egyptian pantheon, and perhaps even some of them may have believed that they were from Isis and Moat. And if you don't know Isis and Moat from the Egyptian pantheon, they're the goddesses and mother goddesses of justice and peace and order and all these wonderful things. Now, as we go down, a few quick notes to mention as we skip through the years, A few half-human Acetans pop up, and they're treated as second-class citizens. Over the years, the Acetan Empire, and this is back when Egypt was still called Aset, and before it was even around in the Egyptian Empire, this is pre-ancient Egypt, if you can imagine that. Now, that they're known for enslaving multiple different what you would consider magical or supernatural races, including humans at the time. Actually, one of the main main causes of the fall of the Acetan Empire really was human militaries, and the fact that when you have a race that breeds so long between creating a new Acetan and then humans who spawn like rabbits, they're going to build a force against you, obviously. As we move through the years, we look at after the fall of the Acetan Empire and after somewhat the Acetans are put to near extinction, Lilith comes back and begins, and this all sounds really weird, I know, to first-time listeners, and I do apologize, but possesses a human woman who then starts possessing the souls of dead Acetans into Egyptian babies, into Egyptian children. After this, the children who survived the possession, and this was mainly due to, and this is where the story gets even weirder, a Nephilim or demigod man who mates with this woman, freeing her of the curse. I'm sure that if you look hard enough, you can find some similar story, and I would actually bet you could find a Hercules story that's similar to that, or if you ever freed a woman from, demonic possession or any other such thing like that. Obviously not demonic possession. And again, I begin to ramble. As we move down the line, basically modern-day vampire bloodlines are the result of these freed, altered souls that used to be possessed by Acetan souls. So you have this sort of genetic makeup that absorbed a little bit of the Nephilim, a sort of the half-angel, half-demigod person. So you have their sort of metaphysical genetic pie chart. And then you have it one-fourth angel and or god, one-fourth Acetan and half-human. So that would eventually result in the bloodlines that continuously spread throughout the world to create real vampirism. And it's just by generations, because it spreads chaotically throughout the generations. So you could be a human and be of that bloodline and then not know that you're in that bloodline until you have like a grandkid. But even then, the subtleties of real vampirism is just unnoticeable if you're not really looking for it. So, does that cover enough?
Yeah. So what are some of the, signs of true vampirism? Do they go through awakening and things of that sort, or,
All right, so did you say time's up?
No, go ahead.
Okay, all right. So when we talk about awakenings, what we have to talk about is that it's sort of this kind of loose definition of the term, which you could argue it's when you first realize you're different or when you first realize your specific supernatural styled, I guess you could say, lineage or metaphysical reality, I suppose. So you could say that an awakening is fully completed when someone realizes they're a vampire, or you could say an awakening is fully completed when someone realizes they're just different. But really, awakening is a broad term that can be applied to anyone throughout the world. So when we talk about the signs of real vampirism, one, if you're looking for physical signs, three things would probably be low immune system, extra circles around the irises of the eyes, and ridges on the teeth. Those ridges are actually well, they're the closest thing to fangs that real teeth, you know, get to. And I guess, and there are certain draws, like there's a draw to the color black because it represents the void, and subconsciously they're just drawn to that, and, it's just a normal thing. Really, there aren't that many signs to differentiate from, human and real vampirism. It's just not that different. You know, it's a condition like anything else. Does that help at all?
Sure. And, vampirism does not mean that they are immortal in the sense, right?
Oh, of course not. We can talk about that for days. So yes, vampirism in the real world, as far as I know at the very least, is simply a condition. It does not make you immortal. It does not. I will agree with any propaganda, like outside. Okay, I'm rambling, and it's just because I'm somewhat amused. I suppose I should have come a little bit more prepared. I could have wrote down some statements, but. Essentially, when we talk about the propaganda of vampires are immortal, turning does not exist. You're either born one and it manifests and you realize it, or you're born one and it manifests and you don't realize it, which makes you a danger to pretty much everyone around you, or you're just born without it. Okay, so those are the three real things that exist. There's no turning. As far as I know, there's no turning. I'm sure that there might be some improbable way of doing it, but I have not found it, nor do I care to try it. And then when it comes to being immortal, no, you're human. You have a human body like anything else. Usually the religious belief behind most modern-day vampires is that their souls have full control of where they go when they die, so they can go to any plane or any realm when they leave their physical body. And that essentially covers that. What it comes down to, would you rather have people think that you're a regular guy who can get shot to death and, like, stabbed repeatedly, and just die when there's religious fanatics out there who want to kill you solely for having an energy deficiency? Or would you rather them have them believe that you are some kind of dark, immortal, godlike figure? And that's what it really comes down to. It's propaganda. Okay.
Oh. Now, what is their connection with, I know we kind of touched base on coven. What is their, real vampires, do they practice magic? Is that incorporated in their lifestyle, or is that not important?
Well, actually, some do, but there's actually a very interesting thing there. There is a heavy anti-vampire sentiment across the Wiccan community. They believe vampires to be unclean.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. I mean, well, first off, you got to think about what, Wiccan is, really. And that's really more or less that it's a healing religion. You know, it's misconstrued a lot. But it really is. It's a healing religion. And some vampires do practice magic, but some just kind of, I don't know, they stay away from it. I mean, it's, especially if they know someone who is Wiccan who is sort of persecuting them after they felt comfortable enough to come out to them about being what they are. So it would be a real issue there. So I would say it's a good 50-50 split on the vampire community, at least in America, view on magic.
Now, you just mentioned persecution, and does that happen often? I mean...
Oh, yeah.
How severe is it?
There have been cases where once a woman who everyone in her community actually thought she was a Wiccan, and actually I think she was actually on the Tyra Banks show, and you could tell if you were you know, supernatural and watching that she was telling the truth and about being a vampire. And you listen to this woman's story, and it's just that as soon as child services, basically she lived in a very southern town, and child services was called on her after she came out to one of her friends that she was a vampire. And this woman, even though she was a psionic vampire, which means she strictly feeds psychically and does not drink blood, so she feeds off of energy, life force energy psychically, she had child services called on her and had her 2-year-old and her 7-year-old taken from her. And the 7-year-old, she said on the show, was already showing signs of being a vampire, which is just like, it's like saying, oh, hey, you know, this is the one person who can help this child with their condition growing up, and now they can no longer, you know, be with their parents who can help guide them. And, you know, there have been other cases, and it's usually in the South, and it's usually, you know, it can be as light as, oh, they're just crazy, or they get bricks thrown through their windows. And, you know, I mean, obviously the first one, you know, child services, especially in America, hasn't exactly been the epitome of success, you know. But still, you know, there's an example of that.
Okay. Joe, you got a question?
Actually, yeah. I know that the word religion was brought up earlier, and you know, while researching, actually before we started doing the shows about vampirism, one of the things I came across many years ago, and I looked back through it and found it a few weeks ago, there are two websites that I know of. One is the Vampire Church, one is the Vampire Temple.
Mm-hmm.
One of those has links on the Sanguinarium website, and I believe
mm-hmm.
that's the Vampire Church. Now, is there some sort of official thing as far as
not really
a religion?
My opinion on the Vampire Church is that they are somewhat of a scam in the same way that I don't want to say anything controversial because I fully respect anyone's right to practice whatever religion they believe in, and of course, you know, if it brings you sanctity, then, you know, practice it, go for it, if it makes you a better person. You know, like Catholicism sort of scammed a lot of people in, I'd say, the 1600s, only instead of preaching about a peaceful savior, they preach about a philosophy about having a black dragon in you, and we must all embrace the black dragon, and the only way to become closer to that is by giving us money. You know, it's that kind of thing.
I know one of the sites, I believe it's the Vampire Temple. I don't think they're in any way related or a part of the whole Sanguinarium website, but
mm-hmm.
you know, this place, I actually downloaded their Vampire Bible, and you actually can't even join their group without purchasing a Bible through them, and their whole, I guess their manifesto reads a lot like the I guess the Satanic Temple and things like that, the more mainstream Satanism these days. It's more along the lines of believe in yourself. If you want to do something, if you want power, you have to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And but then again, they also say that, you know, there are these ancient vampires which rule everyone, which will come back and destroy it. So that to me, mm-hmm. you know, once I read all that, I was like, you know, if this is what is actually being believed in, and if there are real vampires out there, then what the hell is going on?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's one of the myths that gets tossed around a lot, is the concept of, you know, quote-unquote true ones. And basically, that in itself is somewhat despicable because it uses vampire profiting propaganda on real life vampires, which is, you know, really, really funny, because it's like, it's kind of like tricking you into thinking there's a state of false nirvana where you can achieve some state of physical immortality. And it's just ridiculous. It really is. I mean, it goes into, like, oh, it's Anne Rice, but in real life. And it gets harder to justify from there, I think. You know?
So I guess asking the question if Lilith is still existing in the world today is a pretty stupid question.
yeah, probably. I mean, do you mean like Acetans?
Yeah, like you said, Lilith came back into Egypt
mm-hmm.
before Egypt was Egypt. And the thing about pre-Egyptian history is there's so much we don't know. Like, they've even, some people say that the pyramids themselves, the major pyramids, are tens of thousands of years older than we even believe. And I honestly believe that because the Sphinx itself was completely covered in sand up until the 1800s. So there's no telling what actually exists underneath the sands in Egypt and around there. I mean, it's the cradle of civilization, and there are places that civilization was more advanced in the distant past than mainstream science wants anyone to believe. And there's no telling how far advanced, as old as the Earth is, and I do believe there were, I don't know if alien is the right word or if just like some other thing, but someone or something had to bring that knowledge to the people. And I honestly don't think that kind of knowledge just popped up out of nowhere, that there was some other force, you know, call it angels, demons, anything you want, but I believe that's the case.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, no, it's perfectly reasonable. I mean, even the holy texts that are widely practiced today, I mean, the Bible talks about how there used to be other sentient creatures on Earth with human, other than humans, before the flood with Noah. So, yeah, no, it's perfectly reasonable. And as far as the alien thing goes, when we talk about metaphysics, a subject that'll come up is interdimensional travel, which is more or less the state of bringing something in another realm to this realm. And interdimensional travel does not disprove interstellar travel. Okay? So just because something can move between dimensions does not mean that things aren't out there in our own universe that are advanced.
Exactly. And
okay.
I just want to say I agree with that completely, and I may not understand all the deeply scientific things, but I can believe in them anyway.
Well, actually, the truth is you understand basically what I understand. I just use really just like, I guess I just use bigger words to explain it. I mean, you could explain what you know to these people and it would benefit them the same way as what I would, and probably better, because it would be in terms that they could actually understand. You know, with me, I'm saying like, oh, you should study this new science, but really it's stuff that everyone already knows, but it's just put into a larger, I guess, format for, like, if I was going to fill up a 300-page book, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to try to wrap up the show, but kind of tell us what you would, I don't know, advise someone who possibly thinks they are, an actual vampire if they're having their awakening. What is some advice you would give them? What are some places they could go online or to
mm-hmm.
actually, you know, gather some real information, not just propaganda?
Well, okay, I have a little bit. One is a documentary you should definitely watch, Vampires New Orleans. It's about vampires in New Orleans, NOVA, New Orleans Vampire Alliance. They're very rare because they're not a house, they're not a coven. They're more or less a council, a democracy, a direct democracy. Think of it like the Australian government somewhat. it's a great people. If you want to get into contact with them, I would recommend searching for ways to do that. Personally, I don't know how to. Sanguinarius is actually a great, sanguinarius.org, great site to go on. It's literally just advice and links. It is straight advice from, I've been able to talk to her once or twice, the woman who was, who made that website. We talked very briefly, but, you know, she just did that to try to provide for the community, which is, you know, just a normal, responsible thing. Whatever links you find on there, I can't vouch for because I haven't been on the site in so long, because I haven't eaten in so long, because eventually you do, you lose the need for it,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you've memorized what you need to do and how you need to live. Another thing would be, you know, I'm not going to tell you how to live your life, I would say, but, you know, sort of rule number one, if you're going to come out to someone, one, be definitely sure you are what you think you are, and two, be definitely sure they won't tell anyone what you are, okay? I'd say the only other advice would be, you know, generic stuff. Remember to love everyone. Don't let anybody, don't start spouting out random crazy stuff. If you're looking for information, don't go to Anne Rice. Don't go to all the fictional stuff, you know. I hope you can really have a nice life. I mean, I really do. I'm sorry. I'm just so sorry that I haven't made any progress. I'm sorry on behalf of every person who's come before you who's faced the same thing and has failed to set up a real protective group for people like us. And I apologize.
Well, you still have time to, you know, accomplish that. So hopefully you'd be one of the forefathers of doing something like that. Because I think it's important. And, you know, people are really... you know, how vulnerable they can be to persecution and all that. You know, you guys definitely need a solid, you know, protective resource. But we've got to, actually, we've gone over, so hopefully this is still recording. But I appreciate you coming on and definitely, you know, love for you to come back at some point if you want to and give us some more advice.
Of course,
and people
out
there some more advice.
Sure.
We really appreciate it.
So can I leave just a sort of quick link to where people can find me?
Sure.
Okay. So I have a YouTube page called Darker Realms. You can look me up. And I also have a Facebook page called Darker Realms. The Facebook page really has a picture of a physical person, that would be me, and the YouTube page has just a picture of a sort of red-eyed black demon as the profile, as sort of a play on the name, you know, Darker Realms and so demons. The YouTube page is just audio lectures, and the Facebook page is just it's a Facebook page. It's random stuff, notes, essays, some stuff that I put out there just in the public domain to get the word out. Yeah, so if you ever feel like contacting me if you need advice, so those are definitely two viable options, you know. Okay.
Thanks. I'll definitely try to set up on our main page maybe some links to those in case anyone,
okay.
you know, wants to get into direct contact with you or wants to sample your lectures. They're really good, by the way, so everyone should listen to them. I enjoy them.
Thank you.
I guess we'll... No. I appreciate someone with a different perspective coming in and being open to explaining things. But I guess we'll have to call the show tonight. Thanks for everyone that calls in and or is listening. And thank you for calling in, and we will wrap it up. So, Joey, you have anything else to say? I'm so sick.
I just want to I just want to thank you for being on, and it's been a really, really great show these past 2 weeks.
Well, thank you very much.
Well, I will say goodnight to you both, and goodnight to the collective.
Good night, man. And good night, sir.
Good night.